Module 6. Build your network.
Building a network of relationships is the most important thing you can do. It's certainly the most important thing I've ever done in my career. So many amazing people that make up my network have been instrumental in helping me get where I am today. And if you're building your network the right way, you're thinking in terms of building relationships for life. Great relationships can come from anywhere. Coffee shops, conferences, parties, even online dating. So make sure that you're courteous to everyone, not just because something might come of an encounter you have, but because it's the right way to treat people. Here we're going to tie together all of the skills that we've given you in this course: how to casually introduce yourself, formally pitch yourself, use the appropriate language, and present the best you in the ecosystems that you want to be a part of. Building your network brings us all together in a very rich tapestry of meaningful relationships that you can leverage and enjoy for the rest of your life. Networking is an art form. We'll show you how to meet the people you want to meet, how to interact with them appropriately, especially if you don't know them very well, how to follow up with them in a professional way, and finally, and this might be the most important piece here, how to nurture those relationships to create more trust and credibility for years to come. Building your network is critical to achieving your potential because you're going to need a lot of people to help you get where you want to go. Set yourself up so that you have a team of people you can call anytime you ever need anything, from job opportunities to personal favors. All of the industry professionals in this course, for example, are here because they're part of our network that we've been cultivating for many, many years. We help them, they help us, wherever we can. And I'll tell you something else. Because of some very strategic networking, we've also been able to build large global companies and organizations. You don't need to live in a special place, already have special access, be rich or successful to have a good network, but you do need to actively cultivate, engage, and nurture your relationships. You never know where they'll take you.
Building a powerful network is one of the most important things you can ever do for yourself, your family, your community, your friends, and your work. One day it might even be crucial to your health. When you take time and care to build relationships that are meaningful, you instantly gain supporters, mentors, friends, even champions who care about you and your success. Whether your relationships are business or personal, focus on being a good person and adding value to others where you can. And everything you need should come much more easily. When you're being resourceful, you'll always find your way to new and exciting opportunities. Let's get strategic. Let's build some strategy into your process. Who you know right now is not enough. You're going to need help, advice, guidance, and support of many people in your life, and specifically in your career if you have aspirations of great professional success. So when you get a chance, download the ebook that's in the online course. We wrote this just for you. Take a few minutes to read up on some of our best tips on building your network. Because as they say, who you know is everything. When you're being resourceful, you will always find your way to new and exciting opportunities. Networking wish list. Always be building your network. The ability to meet new people easily is a talent some are born with, but most have to work at. Treat it like a muscle. Work on it regularly. The rewards will never stop paying off, especially if you're a good person on top of it all. Now we're going to push you to think about your network on a different level, strategically. Who do you need to know to get where you want to go? Ensure that you're the best you. Be the strongest professional. Be the most impactful entrepreneur. Help you to rise to the C-suite. Learn how to manage your money well enough to support not only yourself, but your family. There are a lot of things we all want to accomplish, and none of us gets there alone. So who do you need to know to get where you want to go? Here's an example. If you were to start a small business, you would know that there are certain professional connections that are essential to the proper setup and smooth functioning of any enterprise. A lawyer, accountant, a publicist, a designer, bankers, your peers, other successful entrepreneurs, and industry experts, just to name a few. Imagine if all these people were on your side, cheering you on and supporting you along the way. This can be a very real scenario if you make the effort to think strategically and build the team you need around you. Online, we're going to ask you to really think about the people who you admire, who have contributed significantly to society or to your industry. Industry experts who are creators, controllers, or legends in your industry. Executives who can employ you or put you on the fast track. Entrepreneurs who can help you launch your own business or make you a part of theirs. Educators at the forefront of modern ideas and concepts. Politicians you admire. Potential mentors you could see yourself working with. Entertainers and creatives you admire. Other potential contacts specific to your industry or goals. The more specific you can be about the people that you need to meet or bring into your life in some way, even if just from a distance, will help you get so much more focused and get so much better information into your life that can help guide you and inspire you on a daily basis. How much contact is enough? Just right or creepy? Meeting people and cultivating professional relationships really is an art. Sometimes when you're just starting to build your professional networks and find yourself needing to reach out to people you don't know, it can be awkward. For some people, this is super easy, and others find it a bit tricky to know what behavior is appropriate and what isn't. Not enough. Let's say you happen to be at an event and you meet the owner of an accounting firm where you'd like to work. The owner enjoys the brief conversation that you've had. He gives you his card and says to get in touch for a possible internship. You take the card and you wait 3 weeks before you email him. Terrible. He's forgotten who you are by then. If the person you're trying to meet gives you a clear invitation to get in touch with them, the professional thing is to send them an email within 24 hours or at least 2 or 3 days. State that you were pleased to meet them and where you met them and that you'd love the opportunity to set up a more formal meeting at their convenience. Maybe even suggest some times or dates. Just right. Your mom's friend is over for dinner. She asks you what kind of job you'd like to have and what you want to do with your life after college. You tell her that you love to write and you love fashion. She responds by saying that she knows an editor at Vogue magazine and would be happy to make a personal introduction. You respond with enthusiasm and gratitude. She sends an email introduction and you immediately follow up, thanking her and expressing to the editor that you'd love to meet her if she has a few minutes available in her busy schedule. You research the company, dress appropriately, and you arrive 15 minutes early to the appointment with your updated resume in hand. Nice job. Creepy. A friend of a friend's dad is in charge of the NFL team you'd like to do marketing for. You find out his name and you send him a friend request on social media. While you're looking through his personal account, you like about 50 of his photos and send requests to all of his friends and family. Then you find out where he lives and you go wait outside for him to come home so you can talk to him in person. Stop immediately. You are being totally creepy and have crossed the line into interfering into this person's personal life. If you want to reach out initially via social media, that's okay, but please just send a nice, concise message with a proper introduction of who you are and why you're interested in chatting with them. Then place the ball in their court for a response. Don't show up at their front door. Advice from industry pros. Lloyd Princeton is the founder of Design Management Company, an architectural and interior design consulting firm based in New York City. These days, he's also a recruiter in the field, just because he's constructed such a strong network of friends and contacts. Lloyd approaches building his network and maintaining his relationships as an art form. He's strategic, tactful, respectful, and always gregarious, greeting everyone he meets with warmth and graciousness.
I'm Lloyd Princeton, and I am the principal of my own consulting firm, Design Management Company, which is a firm dedicated to the professional and personal development of the architecture and design industry. And it's unique because I'm not a designer, but I am a businessman, and my objective is to help people grow their businesses. Business is business. You know, it all runs the same. Profit and loss statements. You need to deal with your bankers. You may need to borrow money. You may need to buy real estate. You probably need to you're going to need to market yourself somehow, whether you're utilizing social, digital media, your print media, however it's going to be, video, which is incredibly popular. These are all necessary things. My chosen profession for the last two decades has been the world of interior design and architecture. But even within the world of interior design, there are many different subsets and specialties, from residential to contract, people who do offices, people who build hotels and schools. And then there's the architects. And they all have different showrooms, they have different magazines, they have different trade shows, they have different educational programs that they follow, with some overlap, but there's definitely levels of specificity. So it, because I know that information, people come to me to help them sift through it and figure out how to, you know, to get to where they want to go as fast as possible. If you want to influence people, ask them what you can do for them, not what they can do for you, and you will be amazed that when you call on them and need something, they're going to make it happen for you. And that's what's going to get you the job interview. That's what's going to get you the job. That's what's going to get you an invitation to the house party where you're going to meet your next contact, which is going to get you that script reading, which is going to get you whatever it is that you want. It is all connected that way. And it's not always obvious. So you have to have faith that it's going to work. I'm not a huge collector of people in the sense that I just want to collect a name and have it in my database. I want to know who you are. And it is that depth of knowing who someone is what will enable you to call on them one day or them to call on you one day. And that is who's going to open a door for you. That's going to make a difference. There is a true art form to being in front of people and to getting them to want to talk to you. And one thing you need to really remember is to not be too sensitive about it, is that everyone is busy. If they're successful, they're busy. They're really busy. They're too busy. So if they seem like they're hard to get in touch with, if they seem they're not returning your phone calls, it has nothing to do with you. They just don't. The truth is they don't see the value of what you're bringing to them right now, and they have no reason to be responsive. So that creates a challenge for you. And unfortunately, it's not a simple answer as to do 1, 2, 3. You need to figure out how you're going to get in front of that person in a meaningful way. One of the things that I have found very effective in getting through to people is to try multiple avenues of approach. I phone them and leave a message. It amazes me how many people have said, well, I called you. And I said, did you leave a message? No, then you didn't call, as far as I'm concerned. Two, follow up with an email. Leave a voice message and then send an email. And if you don't have their email, figure it out. It's easy enough to do in this day and age. And then if all else fails after that, then I follow up with a piece of mail, something physical, tangible, whether it's a handwritten note, if it's a marketing brochure, you follow up with that, because you've now hit them 3 times. And that's what it takes before they go, who is this person? And do I really need to be in touch with them? And they may still ignore that. But then when you reach out for the next round of phone and email, then you will actually potentially get a response. Now, it may not be the response you want. It may be, we're not interested. But at least you've opened the door and you've gotten a response to it. I will often ask people the minute I get them on the phone, do you have time to talk to me? And be prepared that they may say, no, I'm busy right now. And if they say that's the case, because this frequently is the truth, then you go, when would be the best time for me to be in touch with you? You're now asking for permission from them when they should get back to you. And then they will probably tell you the truth. They'll say, call back on a Tuesday morning before 10 a.m. You better call back Tuesday morning before 10 a.m. It's very important. And by the way, as much as people are seem to enjoy text messaging and do things like that, you need to communicate with that particular person in the manner in which they want to be communicated. And if it's text, fine. If it's email, fine. If it's phone messages, fine. Whatever it is that they require, do it, because that's the format that they want to receive things in. One of the best compliments I've ever received, after I've worn people down from years of reaching out to them, and I've tried for years sometimes to close a deal, they go, you have been so persistent, I just wasn't ready, and then you finally got to me when I needed it. Because remember, unless you've got what the product or service that someone needs at the time that they need it, they're simply not interested in speaking with you. No matter how nice you are, no matter how interesting the product is, no matter what the deal is, it's got to all be in alignment, and that just is the right place at the right time. Some people call that luck, and I would say it's probably more a matter of persistence and diligence. Networking, and I use that word very cautiously, because I think it's become a dirty word, like sales, but I have news for you. We're all salespeople. You know, we're selling ourselves. If you want a date, you're packaging yourself so that person wants you. If you want a job, you're packaging yourself so that they hire you. It's, you know, we're ultimately all selling products and services, and, you know, we sell ourselves day in, day out. And the there is a true art form to being in front of people and to getting them to want to talk to you. You know, it starts with a simple hello. I'll say hi to anybody, and nobody gets to walk by me, even in the streets in New York, without me at least acknowledging who they are and that they exist. And isn't it great when you make someone smile and they say hello back?
Get out and meet people. Now, go out and try to meet people from your networking wish list. Get as far as you can in a day, a week, a month. Start gathering information on them and their work, their bios, resumes, or any video of them online. Try to connect with them on social media like LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, or other networks where you might find them. Find out when they're doing talks or attending events or conferences and try to go see them. For someone you really want to meet, go the extra mile, literally. Hop in your car for a few hours, take a train, even fly somewhere if you can. Try it out. Show up somewhere that you know that they'll be, without stalking them or being creepy, of course. Craft a quick email or send them a note in advance with a concise, clearly articulated request to spend a few minutes with them. Give them a good reason why they would want to meet with you and, if possible, how you might be able to add value to them. Tell them something about yourself that sounds compelling. Push yourself out of your comfort zone. See how resourceful and creative you can be. When you've done this once, it'll be much easier to do it again with the next mentor you want to meet. Even people with the best networks are constantly improving themselves in how they reach out. Building a powerful network is an art form that's well worth the investment and effort. When you get online, we're going to ask you to write a little bit about what you did, who the person was, and what your experience was like meeting them. Draft it as a memo to your professor, counselor, or advisor. Make it formal. Briefly address your objectives, your strategy, your actions, your time frame, maybe expenses, outcomes, any next steps or key learnings. This documentation is good practice for you to draft concise notes on what you've been up to that are easily shareable, read, and commented on. Plus, you can refer back to it over and over again as you start becoming a networking rock star. Your options are only as limited as your imagination and your exposure to what's out there. Summary. This last module of Course 2 really brings so many skills together, as we've asked you to literally start building your own network for your future career. You may not realize it, but by starting with this network wish list and then taking action on meeting those people and engaging with them in a professional manner, the seeds of your future are already being planted.